Ian Griffiths is a consultant, speaker, and author. Today he explains how old movies could, and sometimes still do, freak people out. What this has to do with neurons, and what this has to do with Silverlight, coming up in the Sparkling Client podcast.
Hi, I'm Eric Mork.
And I'm Monica Mork. Sparkling Client is a podcast about Silverlight and other web client technologies. It's meant for developers and designers who are interested in making the next generation of great-looking web applications. You give us 15 minutes of your time, and we give you the tools to build amazing web clients. This week, we present information from Ian Griffiths. Eric, who is Ian?
Well, first of all, Ian's a really nice guy. He let me pull him aside at a party and sort of guerrilla interview him for a podcast, so we really appreciate that. He's a consultant. He does development, speaking, and he's also an author. He knows WPF and Silverlight and XAML inside and out. If you want to read his blog, it's at shrinkster.com/x7s.
Let's listen to the interview now.
Okay, and I would like to introduce Ian Griffiths to the Sparkling Client podcast. Welcome.
Hello.
Tell me, why do we need smart client applications in the first place?
Well, essentially, web browsers aren't that good. That would be my way of putting it. Now, obviously, I'm a little bit biased because my background is very much in rich client and thick client in particular. So I've written a couple of books about WPF. And actually, before I got into Windows stuff, I was doing things like set-top box development and presentation of stuff in the living room. So I've always cared a lot about the feel that the end user has, the experience. And from that background, the web looks kind of impoverished. HTML is just not really all that. So there is a need to have just better presentation capabilities on the client. And obviously there are things like Flash in that space. But one of the challenges, if you're coming from particularly the Microsoft world, is that Flash just looks like a whole other planet. So it's a completely different thing. It's not something developers from that world are going to be used to. So Silverlight looks a lot more compelling to Microsoft developers because it provides an easy route into that world of having access to all the stuff you'd expect in a proper Windows application, but accessible right there in the web environment. So you can build better applications, build applications that are easier to interact with, that can present information in more interesting ways.
More interesting ways. Let's get specific. So what's wrong with like walking up to, say, Amazon.com, typing in a search, hitting the search button, you know, items come up, you click on a link, like, or maybe that's good enough in that case. What's your take on that?
Well, I mean, Amazon is pretty good. Yeah, they've taken the web pretty much as far as you can take it. You know, they do a good job with the limitations they have at hand. But there are things that you could do better there. And a lot of these things you can improve with just Ajax. You know, you can say, well, I don't want to have the end user wait while the whole browser goes away for a bit. I'm fetching your page. You can't touch me. Or if you do, who knows where it'll end up? You might end up with a blank page. Or yeah, things just sort of go to sleep a bit, and you get that click, tick, time passes, you wait, and eventually it comes back with a brand new page information. And maybe it would be nicer if it could do things like show you the information sort of as it comes back quicker, so you can start showing results to searches as you type in. And that's a classic example of where desktop applications often do better. You know, you can start typing things into a search box and have it narrow down the results as you see them. And yes, you can do a lot of that sort of stuff with Ajax. And really, it's in that particular example, I think there's a limited scope for the fundamentals of what you could improve. But you could do things like have animated transitions. And it sounds like a kind of trivial, slightly fluffy, slightly unimportant thing, the difference between just having stuff appear and having stuff maybe fade in or flow in. But if you look at things like television presentation, almost nothing happens instantaneously. Things tend to happen much more smoothly. And there's a good reason for this. If you go back to the early days of cinema, you used to be able to completely freak out an audience by having things change suddenly. So if you go back to like the early, you know, pre-talking days of cinema, you could scare the pants off people by just having like death in the distance. And then a bit closer, and you wouldn't have walked from one place to another. And if you think about an audience that hadn't seen that sort of thing, it was totally unnerving, because it's like that's just an unnatural thing to happen. Of course, today we're used to people flying through the air and dodging bullets in slow motion. It takes a little bit more to shock us, but our brains haven't changed that much in the last 100 years. It's still fundamentally quite a shocking thing to have your senses assaulted in this way, to have a sudden instantaneous, unexpected transition. We're used to seeing things flow in and out of view, coming sort of into vision naturally as though they are moving. So you can have a much less jarring experience, an experience that feels more natural if things animate. I mean, the example of this today that makes that illustrates this sort of thing is the iPhone. If you look at anything you do with the iPhone, it almost everything is animated. You've got these nice, weighted, smooth animations. They've taken a great deal of effort to make sure that it feels like things moving around, rather than just windows going, bing, open, all of a sudden, and going away, or page down, all of a sudden, without going between the intermediate states. I mean, Internet Explorer has been doing this for years. The smooth scrolling makes a difference to how easy it is to see how far you've just moved. And it's going to become, I think, more and more prevalent now that we've got the tools to do this on the client side. It's not going to be that long before applications that scroll suddenly, open windows suddenly, that don't have some sort of transition from one state to another, they're going to look a bit like green screen terminal applications do today. It'll just feel clunky and stone age, and you're thinking, gosh, I remember when applications used to work like this.
So I mean, I think that's a great idea that we can make these applications feel more natural. The problem, though, is we have so many degrees of freedom with WPF and with Silverlight that it's not always immediately obvious to developers, how do I make this look natural? Or even designers, how do we sort of key into that?
So right, it's going to be the Blink tag all over again, right? There was that horrible period of HTML's history where people said, hey, I can use every font, therefore I have to. Yeah, it's that second step there was obviously, with hindsight, the wrong conclusion to draw, but people did have a certain lack of taste when presented with a vast array of tools and no clear examples out there of how best to exploit them. And I think we are going to be in for a bit of a rough period as these things get a little bit overused. In my experience, the projects I've been working on, I would say the most important thing is to have a designer involved in the process very, very closely. So I've been working, sat right next to the designer. Yeah, we'll work directly on the same thing. Yeah, he'll have Blend open, and we'll talk about how we're going to structure things, what he wants to achieve in terms of the design experience, what I want to achieve in terms of what the application has to be able to get done. And you want to have interaction design specialists in there as well. And actually, that's an area that's often overlooked. People often don't make the distinction between the visual design of the application. You know, what do the screenshots look like? How are the images drawn and so on? Versus the interaction design, which is more about the structure of how you interact with the application. So this often ends up being done either by the designer or the developer, more or less by accident. And in fact, it's one of the hardest things to get right. So yeah, talking about the iPhone, the obvious things are the smooth animations and how glorious it looks. But actually, one of the things that Apple do very well is making it transparently easy to use as well. And that doesn't happen by accident. Yeah, if it seems like no thought went into it and it was just natural, you know, someone spent an awful lot of effort working out how people could have interacted with it and how they should interact with it and paring it down and getting that element of the design just right. And I think if you get that right, actually a lot of the rest will follow very naturally. Once you've got the structure of how the user interacts with it, then fitting the design around that framework is a simpler problem than it otherwise would be. And developing the actual software that drives the behavior, again, is much simpler if you have a clear vision for how the user is going to interact with it.
So here's something that concerns me. Now, you have a WPF background, obviously.
Yes, I do.
And I don't have a single WPF application on my VistaBox that I know of that I use for everyday things, right?
Right.
Now, one of the great things about Silverlight is that we can bring along these animations, and they do bring value. I completely agree with that. At the same time, why don't I have any WPF applications? Why aren't I using WPF applications today for those same reasons?
So the reason you don't see them built into Vista, to tackle that one first, why are Microsoft not using much of WPF internally in Vista? That is largely an issue of dependencies. One of the problems they hit during the Vista development cycle was having too much of Windows depend on too much of the rest of Windows. And at one stage, it wasn't entirely clear who was going to be ready to ship first. Would it be the .NET 3 guys or would it be the Windows guys? And neither of them really wanted to wait for the other if they could possibly help it. So that's the fundamental issue that I think inside of Windows means that they weren't able to use much of WPF because they just otherwise it would have messed up their dependency separations. As for going forward from there, obviously Vista has been out for getting on for a year and a half now. Why are we not seeing more WPF applications? Well, I think it's because it takes a long time to build a new GUI application. To replace the front end of an existing app with WPF is a deeply non-trivial task. Yeah, that's a serious amount of development effort. So unless you have the kind of application that can seriously benefit from WPF, then you probably wouldn't do it. It probably wouldn't make economic sense to do it. So most of the applications that are using WPF are, by and large, greenfield-type applications being built from scratch, and it just takes a while. And the other thing to remember about that is that until much more recently, until Visual Studio 2008 shipped, we didn't even have a proper tool chain that supported it. You had to run 2005, then you had to install some pre-release set of extensions that weren't really supported and tended to make Visual Studio more crashy, and then you had to get the version of Blend that would talk to that, and you were basically building up a pile of stuff that was a bit iffy, just to be able to build the applications. So all the people that I work with who were building WPF apps in that period were very serious about what they wanted to achieve. They had really, really good reasons for wanting to get stuff done. So they tend to be very heavily design-led and media-driven applications. And because of that, there just wasn't that many of them. They tended to be a bit of a specialized thing. Now, what I'm seeing at the moment with Visual Studio 2008 having shipped, now that you can just say, I'd like a new WPF app out of the box, there's nothing special you have to do, I'm finding we're seeing suddenly a massively increased demand for WPF training. So people are clearly building a lot more with this. So I think you'll start to see that come through the channels in the next year or so. Even then, it's still somewhat specialized. So the majority of the people I work with are either doing media-driven stuff, so video presentation to a large extent, or scientific stuff. So it might be medical imaging, it might be scientific test and measurement. Those tend to be the main application areas, partly because those are exactly the sorts of apps where people are building rich clients anyway. So it's like, well, do we use that, or do we use Windows Forms, or do we use Win32? They're already in that world. And partly because those are the sorts of applications that have a natural need for what WPF makes easy. Because the thing is, if you don't have an application that naturally suits what WPF offers, then you are in the situation where you're using a slightly less mature technology than the alternatives. And you have to ask, well, what am I getting in exchange for that, for paying that price? And if the answer turns out to be not so much, then, well, you better wait till the next version when the tools will be more mature, there'll be more ecosystem around it. And then it will make even more sense for an even larger number of people to use WPF. But today, people who have been doing it for long enough to have actually shipped something already, and a fairly small minority of the applications being written. So we're sort of at that point in the cone, as it were. Mm-hmm. You're seeing things spread out, but it takes a while for things to emerge where you can run them. So I think it will change. I mean, I know it is changing, certainly in terms of the work I'm seeing, both in the consulting that I do and the training that I do. Certainly we're seeing lots of people using it, but I think it's early days in terms of what has shipped. Because building UIs is tough. There's a lot of work to do.
Right. Now, of those reasons, how many of those are going to apply to Silverlight? Because it's going to be disappointing if we don't see some great Silverlight applications sort of coming, you know, as soon as we get started with Silverlight development. What are your thoughts there?
Well, so, I mean, again, right now, if you're doing Silverlight 2 development, you are in this situation where you have to install beta bits and pre-release stuff and get the right combination on your machine. So I think that will put a certain amount of resistance in people's way for a while, and probably it won't go mainstream until there's another version of Visual Studio comes out, so you can just say, I'll have the latest version of Visual Studio, the latest version of Blend, and it will all just be there. When you get to that point, if WPF is anything to go by, that's the point at which people will start to think about using it more readily, because there's a whole class of development shop who just doesn't want to know unless it's already shipped. Which is fair enough, because of course the other problem is with a web application is you're asking the end user to have the plugin installed, and having the V1 plugin, which is already shipped, installed is one thing, because that's out there, it's supported, there's a servicing mechanism by which Microsoft are doing updates for it, and you've got no guarantee of any of that with the Silverlight 2 pieces right now. So the impression I have from the training I'm doing at the moment is that everyone is feeling a little bit standoffish because of that issue. So I think until it's a shipped, supported version, until the V2 stuff is shipped, then I think we're going to see a little bit of resistance. Because although V1 is shipped, it's less interesting than V2, right?
Yeah, we've been there for sure. So let's step forward. Let's step forward to the day when Silverlight is released and the tools really are released and everything's out there. Okay, what sort of common business reasons are there that would say I should use WPF as opposed to Silverlight? What are going to be those sort of crucial reasons?
So reasons for using WPF. If you're shipping a complete system, which a lot of the medical imaging and scientific systems are.
Meaning the hardware.
Yeah, so it's all the boxes. So you're not really buying an application so much as $25,000 worth of kit that happens to have a PC included. In those sorts of situations, then the headache of getting .NET 3 in or 3.5 installed is a non-issue because the client doesn't have to go through that. And you may as well have the full power of everything that's in there because WPF is just a lot bigger than Silverlight 2. There's lots and lots of pieces that are in there, like the flow-based text layout, for example, is in WPF, but you don't get that in Silverlight, not least because you're in a web browser. You already have a text layout engine. Why would they ship a second one? Because of that, WPF makes sense if you can put it out there. If the deployment's not a problem for you, then using WPF is just, why not? It's
sure.
There's more of it. There's no obvious downside to using it. If you're not in that situation, then obviously it's a harder call. If you have to get the runtime deployed on the end user's machine, it's a lot easier to do that with Silverlight because it's a 4.5-5 meg download versus a 45-50 meg download. So then it's a question of which features do you need. So, well, the text flow layout is one example of that. If you want to do something like the New York Times Reader application or the MSDN Reader, it's all the same platform. That stuff relies on things that today are not in Silverlight. If you want spell checking in your text, that's built into WPF. It's not built into Silverlight. That's actually one of the things that bulks up the download of .NET 3 is they've got English, German, and French dictionaries built in there. That takes a lot of space. And there's a few areas like that. Also, the performance of WPF can be better as well. It can cope with more because WPF is hardware accelerated. It uses the graphics cards, DirectX, where available. If you've got a DirectX 9 or better graphics card, WPF will use that. Silverlight software rendering only.
You know, I'm not using any WPF applications either. Something to think about. Thanks for listening to the Sparkling Client podcast. Eric and I work for Silver Bay Labs, the company Eric founded. If you want to know more about what we do, see www.silverbaylabs.org. The music for today's show is used with permission and is from teamyacht.com and magnitude.com. For more information, see the show notes page.